Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. This year has been an incredible one for Bitcoin as it has marched all the way to $100,000 and beyond. We at the Bitcoin Layer have been here the whole way, watching Bitcoin go from ETF rumored approval to live ETFs to an enormous influx of institutional capital to Bitcoin playing a central role in the 2024 election, and now Bitcoin surpassing $100,000 on its way to potentially becoming a strategic asset at the United States. In today's episode, we travel through time and go through some of the best moments of the Bitcoin layer from 2024 to document Bitcoin's rise to six figures. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody celebrating, and we hope you enjoy the show.
A key piece of Bitcoin's value proposition is its origin story. It makes it so unbelievably unique in human history as to be almost stranger than fiction. It's a sci-fi level tale what Bitcoin is. This idea and the network that Satoshi created is so unbelievably disruptive and unique in human history that it frankly has the capability of altering the entire course of the world.
Well, Bitcoin is a neutral asset. Just like the internet itself is a neutral technology, Bitcoin is a neutral technology. It was developed from a white paper using cryptography and algorithms to set out an organized manner in which energy can be converted to Bitcoin. So really, as has always been the case throughout the history of the world, energy can be converted into things that add richness and value to our lives. And the same is true of Bitcoin.
The natural state of a free market is deflation. In short times, you can have inflation, supply chain constraints or something, but the natural longer term course is deflation. Because we solve problems and we solve things that were once scarce, and we create business opportunities from them by solving those problems to reduce the price and create more value.
Where we stand sort of mid-cycle here is that there's a split now between the number go up crowd who loves that Wall Street is coming for our Bitcoin and thinks that it's all about the ETF. And then the rest of us who've been around a long time, who are not new, and who are more interested in the tech as a payment system and as freedom money, as a decentralization of power to literally deconcentrate power over the financial system, which we have seen it has been very centralized and very abused here.
It's the Second Amendment of money. To me, that resonates a lot, because if you look at the dollar, it's devalued. So to me, that is enough for most people. Okay, I get it. This protects me against my own government messing with the currency and devaluing it. Not that I'm, I know Second Amendment can have like political implications, but the whole point is that the Founding Fathers wanted protections against the government because they didn't trust their own government. So you could be pro these amendments and pro that attitude while still liking where you live and your government. But you realize there's so many incentives to like devalue the dollar. It's politically expedient a lot of times. I get it. And it can even help make downturns in the market and the economy better. So it's not like all bad, but let's face it, the dollar has devalued. I will say though, the ETF is so powerful as a vehicle. So the Bitcoin has now been put into the best possible delivery mechanism that exists on Earth, in my opinion.
Who the next group of institutional adopters of Bitcoin would be, was looking at nation states, was looking at pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, Wall Street, and realized that there was $35.7 trillion of assets under management in sovereign wealth funds.
Things are really good, with one caveat. We are in a very strange world right now. Anyone who looks at 5 minutes on the news, anything could happen. So my view is I feel very constructive. I've maintained a constructive composure for some time, but I am fastening my seatbelt because it's going to be a weird and wonderful ride to get there.
The best of those monetary hedges in the long term has been gold. Equities, good quality equities, has been a decent long-term monetary inflation hedge. Prime real estate, residential real estate, another good one. But Bitcoin in the last 5 years has really excelled as an excellent.
There were some hiccups in the middle of 23 with Bitcoin price, but in general, we basically went from 16.5 at the start of 2023 to like four in the 40K range at the end of 2023, then up to the 70K range in March. And now we've been, you know, like 50 to 70K for 6 or 8 months. This market has been characterized by a significant institutional interest in Bitcoin specifically, you know, with the anticipation of the ETFs and the launch of the ETFs. Now the, you know, something like $60 billion under management in the ETFs, $20 billion in net inflows. It's a very Bitcoin-driven market.
There's a giant belief around the world that inflation is required for a productive economy. And no one's asked the question, why? Because really what it says is theft is required to trade with people. It doesn't seem very, it seems if you built a world like that where theft is required to trade with people, then theft would expand. And so that's the world we live in right now, and we're measuring that world from the world creating the theft. And so it's concentrating, it's getting worse and worse, and people are largely, there's a bunch of conspiracy theories within that because they see that problem visible to everyone, and there's no solution from the system creating the problem. Bitcoin is outside of that system, and it has no counterparty risk to that system. It's rebuilding a new system in parallel that is just an honest ledger. And so that honest ledger, what's happening, and I'm going to say this, I say it all the time, but if it stays decentralized and secure and hard capped at 21 million, as I think it's inevitable that it does, then no matter what we do, no matter what, it is imposing new rules on the world that mean prices fall to the marginal cost of production and the free market is deflationary.
The first criticism that people have of Bitcoin is it does nothing positive for the environment. And then you show them the peer-reviewed research it says that it does, and the actual case studies of where it has patently helped to bring more renewable energy onto grids, to help to mitigate methane, to reach some of the UN's methane mitigation targets, and to help that renewable transition and the movement towards net zero emissions. And so we're at the point now where people, the critics, are grudgingly accepting, yes, it is happening. Okay, it's in the peer-reviewed journals. Okay, the grid operators are saying it's useful. The renewable suppliers are saying it's useful. The people who are mitigating methane are saying that it's doing that. Okay, but it's not happening at scale. It's only these little pockets here and there, and the overall impact is still net negative. So what I'm sharing now is to say, well, these are pockets at the moment, but everything started somewhere. Facebook started with 20 users or so. And what we have to look at is what sort of growth curve is it on? And you're right, this is not just happening in Texas. If we look at helping renewable energy get onto grids, it's happening in, there's discussions happening with grid owners in India at the moment. There are people in New Zealand already that I know about who are using demand response, who have hydro dams, and in the rainy season, all of that water spills over the edge of the dam, and now they're able to monetize that energy, turn it into Bitcoin. So, which means then they are more profitable. They can pour that profit into upgrading the facilities. They can pour it into proliferating the use of renewable energy. And at the same time, they have arrangements where when the grid needs that electricity, they curtail very fast, which means it gives much more flexibility to the grid operator, such that now they can put more intermittent variable energy on the grid, knowing that they have the shock absorber where Bitcoin can very quickly go off.
And so you can see all prices on everything are falling, like I would, like I'm saying, but the only thing measuring that is Bitcoin. So that what that means is technology moves faster and faster, and as a byproduct should be saving us more and more time and we should have more and more freedom as a result of more and more time, then that is happening, but it's only happening if you're measuring from Bitcoin, not measuring from the system that's essentially stealing from you.
The Bitcoin market structure is about to get even more dynamic. And this makes our job as analysts so much fun because, you know, we've got on-chain data, which tells us about the spot and the self-custody market and the spot exchanges. You've got the, strange enough, traditional is probably the wrong word to use, but the classic crypto, Bitcoin exchanges, the BitMEXs and the Binances. And now you've got ETFs, which kind of straddle this line between spot, because they are a source of spot demand and sale, but they're also suffering through the right word, from this T+3, right? This kind of settlement delay you have in traditional, and then you're also gonna have options and futures on those markets. So it becomes a very dynamic landscape, and we really do have to not only absorb all of the information, but learn how they interact. And this makes our job very exciting and interesting and dynamic.
Because remember, the ETF's just getting started. Retail's the easiest fish to catch. They're like minnows. You throw a hook in the pond, you're gonna get minnows first. It's harder to get the big fish coming out from the shadows. So the fact that you've got these big fish already biting is a good sign. 414 13F holders blows away the record. Again, it's as blowing away as that $10 billion record. The ETFs that were launched in the same month as the Bitcoin ETFs but weren't Bitcoin, we'll call them the same class of January 2024. They had like 0, 2, one had 10, 5. I mean, but 414 is ridiculous. If you have 20, you're like, rare. It's like, oh my God, home run. So these numbers again are just like insane land. There was the initial flow of day one through day five. Understandable. All the hype. That wouldn't surprise me. Then there was a little outflows. Maybe some friends and family that came in the first days were like, hey, look, I did my job. I'm going to move my money now. I don't know. But there was a little bit of outflows like the second week. And then I thought, okay, we're going to just kind of hang at this like couple billion dollars. This is where I thought the first few months would go. But then boom, this like second wind happened that is unusual. And all of a sudden they started taking in like 300 million a day, 500 million a day. I think 1 billion net came in one day.
I will divert a little bit to the Eric and James from Bloomberg, who've been covering a lot of this. I saw one of their tweets the other day. They're starting to get numbers on who the actual holders are. Now, if I interpreted their charts correctly, it's kind of a table of who the different holders are. First things first, most of them have very, very small portions of their portfolio, like sub 0.1, 0.2%. Most of them, an order of magnitude less than that. So their big takeaway is it kind of looks like it's mostly retail. And my kind of read from just all the information that's out there, it feels like a lot of the big institutional demand is still in the early phases of even just warming up, right? A lot of these places need 3, 6, 12 months of trading history before they can even open it up. So there's a whole process there. These things move a lot slower than people expect. So I think we've really seen the tip of the iceberg on those ETFs. There's no question that they have slowed down. We've also seen trading volume slow down. But at the same time, we've been rallying for coming up to almost 18 months. So just purely from markets, right, you need to take a break. If you run a marathon in, too quickly, you don't pause and just take a break and regulate things, you're just going to burn out. So in that regard, the market is well and truly due for a bit of a pause.
Yeah, I think it ended at like 72 straight days, which is wild. I mean, that ranks it, I don't know, 7th, 8th all time. But it was the biggest active streak for a long time. And so if you look at new ETFs, that's never happened. So it's just so such an anomaly. The number I like to look at that I think really truly shows you how weird this is IBIT reached $10 billion in 49 days. Now, the record for the speed to reach 10 billion before that was 647 days. So think about how much that blows away the record. So it's the inflow streak was really interesting, because day in and day out, it's hard to take money in every day. ETFs are like hotels. People like to come in and out. So taking money every day is really unusual. But to get to 10 billion in 49 days is just absurd.
We don't see it in ourselves. And we vote for people effectively left or right that effectively are saying, we're going to steal more money from you, but we're going to distribute it differently. and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And there is no solve from the system creating the problem. So every one of our actions spent inside that system, measuring from that system, trying to get enough money for ourselves and our families, is actually making that system more fragile, ripping us apart as a society, creating a divide in society. And we're part of it. We're making it stronger. And so if people actually could see what that was actually doing to them, they can't. They don't know that it's doing that to them, because they'll either, everything I just said, by the way, is true, right? Free market is deflationary. Product prices follow the marginal cost of production. And then people will go, yep, totally. And carry on right back to what they've been doing. How do I make enough money in it to be able to save my family or protect my family? Or who should I vote for within it to hurt the other guy, save my, even though you know that inside it, everything is based on the lie that hurts other people. And so all of the time that it's sucking your attention into that makes it stronger and hurts you more.
I will say probably the main catalyst would be a Trump victory if that remakes the crypto regulatory landscape. Bitcoin fares well in either case. I think you've talked about this a fairly large amount, I think, but altcoins uniquely outperform under a Trump overhaul of the regulatory regime. So I think you probably see some turnaround in that as the main catalyst.
This all came from the White House. This was Elizabeth Warren's crew. She, when I keep pointing to her, I've been told by multiple insiders, it's an open secret, not even a secret anymore, that she had a deal with Biden. And when she endorsed him to drop out of the 2020 presidential campaign, she got control over financial services and economic policy in the Biden White House, including all personnel. Okay, so anyone who is in a financial services or economic job in the Biden administration owes their allegiance to her, because she cleared them all or nominated them all. Huge separation of powers problems. Again, I think history is not going to be kind to this Biden White House, because they just ignored the rule of law in so many ways. And I'm not saying this to be partisan. I'm saying this because it's a fact. And what's interesting about the crypto space, and this is part of the reason I bring up Austin Campbell as a committed Democrat, we've got a lot of committed Democrats, a lot of committed progressives among us, right? We just saw Dan Moorhead from Pantera come out and talk about why Bitcoin is a progressive's dream. And I'm thinking of, you know, Jason Gottlieb, Amanda Wick, Sheila Warren. These are committed Democrats, and they are all appalled at what this Warren crew has done. And they all are trying to get this Warren crew out. And I am told that Kamala, if she does win the presidency, that she's going to clean house. And I'm not making any political endorsements here. It's hard to conclude that without her actually saying that. There's a lot of back channel stuff, so who knows if it's true. In talking to political campaign people, there are people like Bharat Ramamurthy who are out there. He went on CNBC a couple of weeks ago and claimed to speak for her. And when I tweeted about that, multiple people came to me and said, he's not speaking for her. So I don't know what to believe here. Again, I don't think she's really stepped in and taken control of her policy team yet. So we don't know yet if this back channel murmuring that all these financial services regulators who are Warrenites, she's aware that they're all Warrenites. And if she wants to change, she's going to have to clean house. So we'll see. It's clear Trump would, but I also have said publicly, I caution a little bit that he's talked about how he wants Jamie Dimon as Treasury Secretary. That appointment, whoever is his Treasury Secretary, is probably his most important one, because the Treasury controls the OCC, which is the National Bank Regulator, controls FinCEN, controls, you know, whether the U.S. issues a stable coin, a CBDC, right? All of that comes out of that Treasury position. And obviously in his first administration, he had a very anti-crypto Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, and if Jamie Dimon is his Treasury Secretary, is it really going to be that much better? I think there's just so much uncertainty. But one thing is clear, that this election is, as I've said before, going to be batshit crazy, and it has been. And you know, the regulatory sticks are gonna fall in the next couple of months after the election. We'll get some clarity, I think.
And there are still a lot of people who don't understand the unique qualities of Bitcoin that makes it a very hard asset and store of value. So we will be continuing to differentiate the qualities of Bitcoin versus other digital assets and cryptocurrencies as we educate them about this bill. The reason I wanted to do this is the whole time I've been in Congress, first 8 years in the House and now almost four in the Senate, I've been worried about the national debt. Now, we just passed $35 trillion in national debt. We don't have a plan to address it. We know we're at about 120% debt to GDP. We know that once countries get to 130% of debt to GDP, that the red lights start flashing and that we're getting in trouble. And so it's high time that we had a plan to reverse that. So that is why we have focused this bill on addressing the debt. It's important that we have some hard assets that grow in value over time, as opposed to the US dollar that is by design depreciating 2% per year or more. Yes, we have over 5% of the world's gold. The goal here is to add another very hard asset, Bitcoin, at about $1 million in accumulation of Bitcoin over 5 years. That would also be about 5% of the total world Bitcoin, because there's only going to be 21 million ever obtained. And so the goal here is to have those two hard assets be sort of the backbone of the U.S. dollar. So there's something backing the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency besides more debt.
There was $35.7 trillion of assets under management in sovereign wealth funds. So that's a combination. You've got the sovereign wealth funds and you've also got public pension funds. The third group is central banks. We're going to exclude them because I don't think they're going to be investing in Bitcoin anytime soon. But if you look at those other two categories, that's $35.7 trillion of AUM. And if a 1% deployment into Bitcoin were to happen, we can calculate based on the current ratio of dollar invested to market cap increase that it would lift Bitcoin price to over $148,000.
If we look forward 5 years, you'll see in my analysis, I do a video report, you'll see that I often look back and like, it looks a lot like this correction, or this is how it looked back then. I'm pretty sure we'll be looking at this correction in 5 years' time, if I'm still doing this, we'll be looking back at this correction, be like, see this? This is a textbook bull market correction. You actually couldn't ask for a more structured, beautifully built everything. Like literally everything that you wanted to see. We got a nice retest of the short-term holder cost basis. We got people who bought high at 70K get flushed out low. There was all these different components that we've explored it through this process that really just suggest it was textbook.
Ultimately, what you're talking about here is fiscal dominance and monetary inflation. And in a world of fiscal dominance and monetary inflation, a 60-40 asset mix, equity bonds, is exactly the wrong mix. It won't work. What you need is radically lower bonds and more direct monetary inflation hedges like gold and cryptocurrencies. And that's why we're bullish on Bitcoin in the medium to long term. Because whatever you might say about the cycle, whether liquidity ebbs and flows in the next 12 months, is not necessarily the point. The trend has got to be upwards for the simple reason that the fiscal regimes in every Western country are out of control because of mandatory spending, because of polarized politics in the domestic level, which means you can't really effectively raise taxes without alienating your critical marginal voter. And at the global level, there's a polarization between us and China, which means that defense outlays have got to be much, much higher. So the fiscal arithmetic just doesn't work unless you've got monetization. And monetization means asset markets go up.
This is the very first thing that I have been able to find that I could say, this is it. This will work. And so I need help explaining why this will work, why this is so important. And if we take this step, it's a game changer. It's a game changer for our country. We get to remain the world's most secure, most important, most innovative, most thoughtful country on earth. And that's worth pursuing. And it can't happen soon enough. You know, there's a saying that the best time to plant a tree is yesterday. And that can also be said for this. The best time to create a Bitcoin reserve is yesterday. So we've got to get after it. This is a game changer.
Bitcoin is hitting its stride with massive ETF inflows, large geopolitical changes, and the prospect of a United States strategic Bitcoin reserve. 2025 is shaping up to be a defining year for Bitcoin. And here's the real question that you guys need to be asking yourself. Are you prepared? And is your Bitcoin house in order? If you're not sure, you're in luck, because on December 10th, Unchained is hosting a free web event that is an essential session to prepare yourselves for what is ahead. You'll walk away with a clear plan for your end of year moves, smart strategies for bringing your family into Bitcoin, and the confidence of knowing that you are set up for the long haul. Join Unchained's General Counsel Jeff Vandrew and Adamant Capital founder Tor Demeester for an unbelievable session to get you guys positioned for the year end, all your tax strategies, retirement strategies, any question that you might have about Bitcoin planning. With a bull run gaining momentum, this is your window to prepare for what's ahead. Register at unchained.com/TBL for this free web event. Do not write your Bitcoin seed phrases on paper. A lot of Bitcoin, guys, is lost forever, and poor seed phrase management is a big reason why. That is why we use Stampseed. Go check them out at stampseed.com for 21% off of your entire order with the code TBL. Stampseed sells DIY titanium seed phrase kits. They send you these titanium plates. They send you a very heavy-duty hammer. And what you do is you hammer your seed phrase into these titanium plates. These plates are fireproof up to 3,000 degrees. They're rust-proof, crush-proof, and time-proof. So it allows you to really keep these seed phrases in a way that lasts the test of time. You can use them in your single sig or your multi-sig setups. So go check them out today. Stampseed.com. Use code TBL for 21% off of your entire order. This is a Black Friday sale that is going from November 23rd to December 3rd. Go to stampseed.com and use code TBL.